your brothers and sisters in Christ. I didn't say this earlier this week because it was still Holy Week. But it is good to be back among you after doing the rotation. And I extend to you your greeting from your brothers and sisters in Christ in our circuit churches, as well as I extended your greetings to the members there. And grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first reading for Easter seems to be out of place. Seems to be out of order. It reviews what happened previously, or it requires review of what happened previously, learning what happened in between those events, and then introduction into that reading. When we left off on Friday morning and evening, Peter had denied Jesus three times. Pilate had relented to the people and given Jesus over to be crucified by them. And Jesus was nailed to the cross and put to death for our sins. He uttered the words, "It is finished," and he died. Since that time, Jesus has been resurrected, but more on that later. Peter has been restored by a word from him, and a man named Cornelius has been introduced. Our text may begin at verse 34, but the account really begins at the beginning of chapter 10 of the book of Acts. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. This man, Cornelius, was a Roman officer who led about 900 men. He was also an Italian. He was also a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continuously to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he, that is the angel, said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter." As you continue through the chapter, you find that the very next day, Peter was having a vision himself. He saw a sheet being descended from heaven three times, bearing foods that had been previously deemed ceremonially unclean. And the Lord God tells him, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Shortly after this vision, Peter is called upon by Cornelius' men. And following the command of God, Peter goes with them to meet Cornelius. But what exactly does any of that have to do with Easter? Well, that's what we will be looking at this morning as we continue through our text. When Peter goes to Cornelius, he explains his purpose in summoning Peter. And Peter replies, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened." Now, don't get the wrong impression from this text. It is not saying that good works, that giving alms and praying to God continuously save. Remember that in introducing this person, Cornelius, it said that when he was confronted by the angel of the Lord, he was terrified. He was terrified to be a sinful man in the presence of even a representative of God. Yet, like with Rahab, God wasn't going to let him die in ignorance of the word concerning his son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Rahab was a person from the Old Testament. She was one who was a Gentile, not an Israelite, but who had hid the Israelite spies in the book of Joshua. And God allowed her then to come in to the people of Israel, hear about the promised Messiah to come, and she herself ended up in the genealogy of Jesus himself. So too, Cornelius had knowledge of God, but it was incomplete. So God had him send to meet Peter. God doesn't want you to die in incomplete knowledge or ignorance of his Savior, of his Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ, either. He has prepared you to hear the word this very morning, so that you may not be terrified by your sins any longer. And he desires this not just for you, but for all people, no matter your or their race or socioeconomic status. Up to this time, though, it had not been ritually acceptable for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But, Peter says, God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. That same thing is true for us today. We should not refuse to proclaim the Easter gospel of salvation to anyone. As for the word God sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know what happened. Throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. There's the Easter proclamation. Jesus, who had performed great signs and miracles in his earthly life and suffered and died on the cross at the hands of sinful human beings, God has raised him from the dead. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. But this news is much more than just a saying that we like to say. It's more than just a historical account. It's not something that just happened 2,000 years ago and we remember and think about on occasion today. Jesus died at the hand of sinners, suffering the price of sin for all people. Not just all the people of his day, but for all people of all time, including our time. He died paying the price that you rightly deserve to pay for your sins, which you have committed in this current time. He took separation from God the Father in your place so that you won't have to. You know this to be true. You, like the children a few minutes ago, know that there are things that you have done that you were not supposed to do. You also know that there may have been some things that you were supposed to have done and did not do. Yet it goes much further than that. You are a sinner from your very birth. All of humankind has fallen into sin, and we are born into it. We are lost in the darkness of sin since our beginning. And your sin rightly deserved the full punishment of the law, separation from God for all of eternity, in nothing but pain and separation, pain and suffering. That is what you deserved. Deserved. Past tense. You no longer deserve it. But not because of anything you or I have done. You will no longer have to bear the punishment of the law because of the good news of peace. That Jesus bore that price for you. And more than that, he was raised from the dead on this very day. That's why we have church on Sundays, because it was on Easter Sunday that Jesus rose from the dead. But you don't have to just take my word for it. You have the word from God himself through the witnesses he prepared beforehand to share the word. Even Peter, who we hear proclaiming that word in our text this morning. God had raised Jesus from the dead, and he is risen indeed. Alleluia. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Here in our account, Peter was already fulfilling that word. He was preaching that useful gospel. But not just to anyone, not just to another Israelite. No, he was preaching it to a Gentile. This would be the beginning of the church as we know it. Preaching and teaching God's word, his law, that shows that we are sinners. that shows that we cannot keep the law no matter how much we try, but especially the gospel that Jesus has paid the full price for your sin and you bear it no more. And again, this is being preached throughout the world, not just to Israelites, not to just one person or this kind of person or that kind of person, but to all the world, to people of every nation, that is the Gentiles, us. Our history bears that out. No matter what descent that you are from, you have heard the gospel, even if today is your first hearing of that gospel. All the prophets and accounts of the Old Testament bore witness to what Jesus would do when he came. And the New Testament displays God's awesome power demonstrated through Jesus, doing healings, performing signs, and ultimately going to the cross to pay for our sins, and God raising him from the dead on that third day. He died for your sins and was raised by God the Father to show that you too will rise. Everyone who believes in his name receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Yet if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, our faith would be in vain. We of all people would be the ones needing most pity. Thanks be to God, who raised Jesus from the dead, had him show himself to Peter and to all the witnesses, and who has welcomed people of every race and socioeconomic status to hear that gospel news. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And your sins are forgiven in him. In Jesus' name, amen.